Scripture readings today are Psalms 21 and Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord, I say. You are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies, for those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and in earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be here this morning with you and celebrate this Palm Sunday together as we prepare for Easter. So, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Our church is beautiful with our decorations and our preparation for Easter. Be sure and notice the cross out front. It looks like Shelley's been at it again, and it's absolutely beautiful. So be sure you notice it. Thank you, Shelley, for all you do. It's beautiful. More than 2,000 years ago, God's plan of redemption altered the world forever. The power of sin and death was broken through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ that first Easter. Death was defeated. True life, our spiritual life, God's life, triumphed. And now we begin Holy Week, the week where we remember and honor Jesus' life, his sacrifice, and his power. Today is Palm Sunday, so we start by coming alive to Jesus' life, which was above and beyond our human understanding. On Good Friday, we won't look down in fear or defeat, but hold our heads high as we focus on the cross and come alive to the sacrifice Jesus made. The life Jesus offers to you and to me, to all of us, is a reason to celebrate. It's reason to respond to God's open arms and his invitation to draw near to him. I'm so glad we're here together on this Palm Sunday as we begin to experience the life-giving truth of Holy Week and of God's power to transform each of us into a new creation. The events of Palm Sunday, often referred to as Jesus' triumphal or triumphant entry into Jerusalem, are recorded in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's a sure sign that this day was pretty important. It marks what we think of as the beginning of Jesus' journey to the cross. But that journey actually began long before Palm Sunday. That journey began before Jesus started his ministry. It began before he arrived on earth in that Bethlehem manger. We need to understand that Jesus' purpose was part of a much bigger plan established before the creation of the world. It went far above and beyond what the people there, that original Palm Sunday, could have known. You see, Jesus' journey wasn't just about the immediate circumstances of the Jewish people under Roman authority, which was pretty rough. His journey would impact eternity. And his journey was not just about the earthly events swirling in those dusty streets in Jerusalem that day. The true significance is the spiritual realm. and how today marked a triumphant entry. Jesus' journey was not about human approval or cooperation. It was one of obedience to the Father and the fulfillment of his plan for redeeming the world. As we look upon that day in Jerusalem, I think there are three symbols that help us remember the lessons of Palm Sunday. We're going to look at them this morning. On your bulletin or up on the screen is a picture of Jesus riding a donkey. There's a palm branch, and by the bulletins there was a rock or a stone for you. These are all pretty common items, but they remind us of the uncommon journey of Jesus. They represent the ways he went above and beyond our understanding, our abilities, in order that we might come alive to his life. Now take a look at your bulletin or the picture up here. Take a look at that little animal. What do you think of when you see a donkey? A little stubborn, right? That's what they're known for. And when we think of Jesus making a triumphant entry into the Jewish holy city, it's a logical question to ask, why a donkey? It's probably not what you or I would have chosen. Wouldn't you have expected him to come on a beautifully decorated horse with fine silks and jewels? I think this is the beginning of the unveiling of his plan of salvation for us. At first glance, it might seem that Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey was a practical matter. He was just tired of walking, and there was a donkey nearby. Not a horse. All the camels had been taken at Rent-A-Beast. Just a donkey. But that's not accurate. The meaning of Jesus coming in on a donkey has a pretty heavy-duty mission, and this lowly animal was a part of God's bigger plan. Well, why a donkey? First, there aren't many horses in the area. Only the rich and the nobility rode horses. Horses were associated with war. When a conquering king came into a city after a conquest, he would ride a horse, probably decorated with silk and jewels. But when a king came into a city riding a donkey, it was a symbol of peace. The message is that Jesus wasn't bringing war. He was bringing peace. But do you realize that he wanted a wild donkey? He specifically asked for a colt that hadn't been ridden before, not broken for riding. Perhaps it was to show the submission of an unbroken animal to the master. Jesus could even tame a wild animal, but unfortunately the stubborn hearts of the Jews of that time could not be broken. They wouldn't submit in their hearts to him as king. Perhaps we have that same problem today. We just don't want to really submit to him. The Old Testament gives many prophecies for Jesus, for his life and his death. Way back in Zechariah 9 in the Old Testament, there was a prophecy that the Messiah would come riding on a young donkey. Matthew quoted Zechariah when he wrote about what would happen on Palm Sunday. This is in Matthew 21. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you will say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on them, and he sat on it. Jesus specifically wanted a donkey. What might seem to us like plan B, practical solution to the immediate situation, was actually a specific fulfillment of thousands of years of promise. Take another look at the donkey. You have to admit he's kind of cute. I wouldn't call him majestic or royal. The top soldiers of Jesus' day rode on fancy, majestic horses. Now that's a show of power and position. Those big, gorgeous horses said power, strength, authority. The donkey, not so much. But while the donkey can represent the humility of Jesus, the iconic twist of the story is that by riding on the donkey, Jesus was also proclaiming that he was the Messiah, the King. The dedicated Jews gathering in Jerusalem at this time for the celebration of Passover feast would have known this Old Testament prophecy. So this simple act demonstrated a connection to the past by fulfilling prophecy. And it also pointed to the future of Jesus as king, not an earthly king, as many imagine, but as the true king who would reign forever in God's story of love, forgiveness, peace, and redemption. The true king who would bring God's peace. The Messiah, whom the Jews had been waiting for throughout the centuries. Here he comes, riding on a donkey. Now, this morning we have palm branches. And I hope each of you gathered one. If not, I'm sure there's more back there. So let's talk about this just a little bit. Imagine that you've loaded your family in the car with the promise, we're going to go get you some ice cream. Wow, the kids are so excited. We're going to go to Dairy Queen. But surprise, you drive right past Dairy Queen all the way to the airport and board a plane for Paris. That is not... Oh, my pages are out of order. That makes things a little bit interesting, doesn't it? Give me just a minute here. Well, this doesn't happen often. There it is. The kids should be ecstatic. They're going to Paris, right? They're on the trip of a lifetime. But instead, they're crushed. They wanted ice cream. It isn't what they expected was a trip to Paris. It didn't fit in what should happen. Okay, most of us don't have a surprise trip to Europe in our back pocket, but the story gives us a glimpse into what happened to Jesus' disciples and followers on Palm Sunday. They were cheering with excitement. They thought the king had arrived. Here he is. The Romans would be overthrown by this man. They could almost taste the victory as Jesus rode into town. He's on a donkey. A donkey means peace. Matthew 21 tells us that most of the crowd spread their coats on the road and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed were cheering and shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Hosanna means save now. I didn't know that, did you? Save now. In one sense, it was a desperate cry, much like a drowning person would yell out for rescue. But it was even more than that. It was an oppressed people's petition for freedom. Originally an appeal for deliverance, it came in liturgical usage to serve as an expression of joy and praise for deliverance granted or anticipated. The crowd waved the palm branches, which were a traditional symbol of victory. And that's where we get the name Palm Sunday. Simple. The crowds spread their coats for the new king. In Old Testament times, to show their respect to a king, people would put their clothes down for the king to walk on them. The people did this back when Jehu was appointed the new king of Israel. In 2 Kings we read, Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you, that's Jehu, as king over Israel. Then they hurried, and each man took his garment and placed it under him on the bare steps, and blew it with a trumpet, saying, Jehu is king. You see, the waving of palm branches and placing their garments for Jesus to walk on was part of Jewish history, and a way that they honored the coming king. They could almost taste the goodness of freedom. Finally, their Messiah, their rescuer, had come. Finally, he was going to kick some Roman tail and overthrow their oppressors and set up the perfect kingdom for the Jews, right? No. They would soon find out this king wasn't what they expected. He wasn't here to set up an earthly political kingdom. Instead, he went above and beyond what the people imagined. He was a spiritual king, not an earthly one. And his victory was the ultimate victory over sin and death, and that would be more than freedom for their current oppression. It would be the victory that restored all of creation and made a way for every person to have a right relationship with God. He would throw off and defeat the oppression of their souls. Now, there were obviously many people who approved of Jesus when he rode into Jerusalem. They were the ones cheering. There were many who were just watching to see what was happening. And there were those who were just going along with the crowd with little understanding what was happening, and who would probably go along with the crowd later when they shouted, "Crucify him." And we know that there were many who did not approve of Jesus, including the Pharisees and the religious leaders, as they were threatened by Jesus' popularity. But none of them understood the magnitude of what Jesus was going to do. Even Jesus' disciples didn't get it. John tells us so in the book of John, chapter 12. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. What about you? What do you expect from Jesus this Easter? Are you prepared for his power and victory in his life to go above and beyond his expectations? Now let's get to the rocks. Each of you should have gotten a rock. There's a basket of them in the back if you came in after Cheryl had passed them for us. And that's something that we really want to talk about. Why rocks on Palm Sunday? Palm Sunday is really a snapshot that represents all of Jesus' life. His love, sacrifice, and commitment is a greater story to God's ultimate work. When he rode into Jerusalem, he didn't arrive in order to raise more support or gain more approval. This wasn't a campaign rally where he was trying to make enough money or to get people to like him. That wasn't his goal. As we look at his entry into Jerusalem, remember this. He knew what was coming. He knew in the coming days he would die on a cross. Only a few days later, that same crowd that was shouting, "Hosanna," would shout, "Crucify him." And it didn't change Jesus' purpose or his actions. Jesus' purpose or his actions was not dependent upon human approval or praise. He made this clear as it was recorded in Luke, for it said as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very rocks would cry out." Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen painted rocks. I even owned a pet rock. Remember those? We're all, most of us old enough to remember the pet rocks. But I've never heard a stones actually cry out. It seems impossible. But that was his point. The importance of the day wasn't about who sang praises and who kept quiet. It was about all of creation, which was in need of redemption, and all of creation who was held under the curse of sin and death, of all of creation who would praise God when its creator was at work in such a significant way to lift the curse and make a way of restoration for all the ultimate good he originally created. Friends, I tell you today, if we don't recognize and honor him in our lives, the very rocks will cry out. Jesus' purpose was not to be liked by a majority of people. It was to offer the ultimate sacrifice, his own life, so that everyone and all of creation could worship God in the new freedom and truth. Whether the people approved or disapproved, recognized or had no idea what was going on. Jesus' purpose never changed. It was above and beyond earthly understanding. Today we have the privilege of hindsight. We see what the disciples did not see. We know the end of the story. And as we watch the events of Holy Week begin to unfold, we can come alive to his life. It was dedicated to God's ways, ways that are above and beyond our own. They were God's ways when Jesus entered Jerusalem that Palm Sunday, and they still are today. The words of Isaiah were appropriate then as they are now. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's no doubt that God is above us and beyond us in every way. Yet from above and beyond, God sent his Son, so that the world would in a way that we never could have planned or imagined. Jesus came to us in humility. He lived among us in solidarity. He sacrificed everything in obedience. Perhaps the best known verse of the Bible tells it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus' life purpose was to bring God's love and life to the world. His love bridged the gap and provided that way for us to cross over into the holy presence of God of the universe, to know God, to relate to him. As Paul wrote, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. If you're here today wondering what this journey of Holy Week means for you, don't miss God's invitation. He loves each one of us and invites us on the journey. And as we go through the Holy Week, we can build our relationship with him. Just think, we can approach God in freedom and in confidence. It may be an unexpected journey. It will probably be a surprising journey. But what was once impossible because we were separated from God by sin and death is now possible when we come alive to the life of Jesus. Because of what he did, we can respond as the writer of Hebrews did. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. I think that's so important. Today we can come alive to Jesus' life and confidence. As we continue our journey through Holy Week, prepare to come alive to Jesus' sacrifice through his death on that cross on Good Friday, and to celebrate Jesus' power through his resurrection on Sunday. Just as Jesus entered that swirling city thousands of years ago and entered into the final stage of his work on earth, let's invite him to enter our hearts and our lives. Let us sing shouts of Hosanna for the Messiah King, but also let us join him in humility and obedience with our lives open and our hearts full of gratitude. Let us join him in God's ultimate work of restoration, healing, and true life. Jesus wants to make a triumphant entry into each of our hearts this morning. When we stand before him one day, he'll either say, depart from me, I never knew you, or well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. That day can either be a triumph or a tragedy, tears of sorrow or tears of joy. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, today's the day. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, how amazing it must have been on Palm Sunday to see you coming to the holy city amid shouts of joy. Today we join with a jubilant crowd, thanking and praising you for the great miracles you've done in our lives and in our world. We want to celebrate by waving palm branches and spreading our coats to carpet your pathway. Jesus, we pray that the world will open their eyes to you, your glory, your love, your invitation to a new life. May we become strong witnesses of your glory and power. May others see our joy in your presence, and may they be filled with the desire to know you because of Palm Sunday and every day when we proclaim the joy of knowing you. Amen.